Welcome to the meeting of the San Diego Union High School District Board of Trustees. If you wish to speak regarding an item on the agenda, please complete a speaker slip located at the sign-in desk and present it to the secretary to the board prior to the start of the meeting. When the board president invites you to the podium, please state your name before making your presentation. Persons wishing to address the board on any school-related issue not elsewhere on the agenda are invited to do so under the public comments item. If you wish to speak under public comments, please follow the same directions for speaking to agenda items. In the interest of time and order, presentations from the public are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. The total time for agenda and non-agenda items shall not exceed 20 minutes. An individual speaker's allotted time may not be increased by a donation of time from others in attendance. In accordance with the Brown Act, unless placed on the published agenda, no action shall be taken by the board on non-agenda items. However, the board may, 1, acknowledge receipt of the information, 2, refer the matter to staff for further study, or 3, refer the matter to a future agenda. In compliance with Government Code Section 54957.5, agenda-related documents have been distributed to the board less than 72 hours prior to the board meeting, have been available for review on the district website or at the district office. All matters listed under consent are those in which the board has previously deliberated or which can be classified as routine items of business. An administrative recommendation on each item is contained in the agenda supplements. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Trustees votes on the motion unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items to be discussed or pulled from the consent items. To address an item on the consent calendar, please follow the procedure just described under comments on agenda items. As a courtesy to all meeting attendees, please set cell phones and electronic devices to silent mode and engage in conversations outside of the meeting room. Thank you.
All right, if I could ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right, the board has previously met in closed session this evening, but had no action taken while in the closed session. But we do have some cases to vote on here at this point. So the first one is these are student discipline cases, case number 2018-074-SD. For stipulated expulsion, if I could have a motion to approve the expulsion of this case for violation of Ed Code Section 48900.7 for April 20th, 2018 through April 20th, 2019.
Move to accept expulsion.
Second.
All right, thank you. We need a roll call, please.
Ms. Mirror?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Herkesheimer?
Yes. Thank you. Number two is our case number. What I will be seeking is a motion to approve the expulsion of case number 2018-076-SD for violation of California Ed Code Sections 48900N and 48915C4 for the period of April 20, 2018 through April 20, 2019. Roll call, please. Excuse me, thank you. Do I have a motion?
I move to for the expulsion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. We have a roll call, please.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
No.
Ms. Herkesheimer?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to the...
I'm sorry, Beth, is that the...
This is the first vote on it. So now I'm going to seek a motion to suspend enforcement of the expulsion on this particular case number, 2018-076-SD, for for violation of these same codes. Do I have a motion?
Move for suspension of expulsion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Another roll call, please.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. Next is case number 2018077SD, also seeking expulsion for violation of California Ed Code Section 48900 and 48915C4 for this April 20th, 2018 through April 20th, 2019. Do I have a motion?
I will put them, I move for the expulsion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. And then this is the third case, if that's what you're asking.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay. And again, so we've had a motion. It's been seconded. Another roll call, please.
Ms. Muir?
Oh, no.
Ms. Herman?
No.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
No.
Mr. Salazar?
No.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
No. And we do not need to consider the second portion. Fourth case is case number 2018078SD for violation of California Ed Code 48900.7 for the remainder of the 17-18 school year through June 15th, 2018. Do you have a motion?
Move expulsion.
This is a semester, yeah, a suspension.
Suspension. I'm sorry. Move suspension.
Okay. Honey, is this the same?
No.
No. Okay.
This is the fourth case.
Okay, thanks. And I will second the motion for suspension.
All right, thank you. An additional roll call?
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. And the final stipulated expulsion is for case number 2018084SD for violation of California Ed Code Section 48900F for the period April 20th, 2018 through April 20, 2019. And this is also a roll call.
I need a motion.
Sorry.
So
second.
We have a motion. Okay. You got all of that?
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. Thank you. Brings us to approval of our agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda for this board meeting as presented?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Approval of minutes for our March 15th, 2018 regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That carries. Student updates, please. We can start.
Okay, so for the week of March 19th to the 23rd, we had our annual dodgeball competition. It was really fun this year. Like, it was just like kind of special because there was also an administrator team and a teacher team, so that kind of like spiced things up. And then on March 30th, we had our morph dance, and like we had the main dance. We had like the DJ inside, but then we also had silent disco outside, so that was kind of like fun and exciting. The tickets started off at $5, and the theme was neon versus whiteout. So it was just like very easy for like all students to attend if they wanted to. And then the week right before our spring break was Yellow Ribbon Week. This year was really focused on student wellness and overall happiness. So ASP basically set up where students could come fill out free compliment grams where they would write a message to a friend or teacher just telling them like how amazing they are. And then ASP added a piece of candy to each little slip, and then we delivered those. And in addition, we had many like lunch and break time activities. My favorite day out of all that is on Friday we all like wore yellow and then had a big picnic in the meadow next to our theater. And there was free Chick-fil-A.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. And then next week is election week for ASB, so all the people running for an elected position within ASB are out campaigning. And then freshmen, sophomores, and juniors will get the vote. And then also next Wednesday, we have the opening night of our spring musical, Les Mis. I'm personally in the stagehand tech class, so it's been very cool just to be like working on the set and building it and watching like the musical come together as a whole. And then the show runs to May 5th, so I definitely recommend checking that out if you're interested. And then finally, on May 12th is our big prom dance. This year it's at the Port Pavilion on Broadway Pier, right next to the Midway. ASB got to tour the venue. It's actually like, it was really, really cool because it's kind of like, it's kind of like a big like shipping port, but they basically redid the inside, so it's all like glass and you can see out at the water. It's just like really cool. And then the theme is Lost in Time, and we already can just like tell how excited people are from when we like kind of announce where it is and what the theme is.
All right,
well,
thank you. And Gabby for San Diego Academy. Sorry, is there a question?
No.
Thank you. Please.
Okay, so yesterday our musical Chicago opened, and it's already sold out, which is kind of a bummer, but... so while you're there, we just got brand new LED lights, which are the same ones that Broadway has, and they're the safer, more energy-efficient lighting, and it was purchased from Diego's Neighborhood Reinvestment Program and donors... the Theater Arts Council, so they wanted to give like a huge thank you to the foundation, and all the students are loving it and they're just learning how to use it. A few weeks ago we had lots of love, and many people came out and donated hair, and two guys did it, and they were really nervous about it, but it looked really good. It was 8 inches, so they're good. But so testing season has begun, and the week before spring break, we had dogs come on campus after school so you can pet them. It's just kind of like a stress reliever. And then this week and next week, we've been having our statewide testing. And so while all the juniors were testing, we've been having all the other classes go to the gym. And on Tuesday, we have a speaker from Sandy Hook Say Hello campaign kickoff come and give a speech. And today, Detective Felicia from Encinitas Sheriff's Office came and gave a talk on leadership. So that was really cool. Right now, our robotics team, Team Paradox, is in Houston competing in the national championships, and I know they're really excited about that. Our girls lacrosse team right now is in the top three for Division III, and that's really exciting for them because they've been working really hard. We just had a track meet at Carlsbad. I think it went really well. I had to leave early, but it was fun. And we have prom May 19th at the zoo, and the theme is Bollywood. And we're going to have some exhibits open, and there's going to be a belly dancer. It's just going to be really fun time.
And for CCA, then Jack Harvey's, please.
All right, so CCA, we started our final quarter this week. And a few weeks ago during our finals week, we had our We Are CCA week. So during lunch throughout the days, we had different activities. We had a comedy sports match during lunch. During the two testing days, we had therapy dogs out right before during the break period. And then we also had this foam thing. They come up with this huge fire truck and they shoot foam. Come down and have fun. So that was really cool. We do that every year. Also, a couple weeks ago, CCA crushed the Greater San Diego Science and Engineering Fair. Out of the 90 total high school projects, 37 were from CCA. And all top four awards were CCA students, awarded the CCA students in the school. Also, a few weeks ago, our Japanese class hosted students from Tokyo. And then for upcoming events, our CCA Unite is this weekend. It's taking the form of the TEDx that we usually have every year at CCA, but this year it's completely student-run, which gives them a lot more freedom. And they're going to have a bunch of talks from today's leaders, performances by some other talented young people. And they're going to have a bunch of different activities and food trucks and stuff as well. And it's completely free. You can sign up on the CCA website. So that's going to be really, really cool. Our robotics team is also competing in the World Championship Division. They're from Houston. They're called the Aluminum Narwhals. They're really excited about that. Our CCA Film Festival is coming up. The screening is going to be on May 18th, but submissions are coming in now. And... five amazing students last night went into the academic team competition as the number two seed and ended up as the North County winners. And also going on this week is the USA Math Olympiad competition. Only 500 nation, our kids in the nation qualified. We had five of those who earned those spots. And last but not least, this week is our election week, so students are running for positions in ASB, and that all ends tomorrow.
I actually also heard that CCA has two students that have made it into the semifinals for our National Presidential Scholar.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, right. So congratulations to them. Before we do board reports, I believe Mr. Dill has absentee reports.
Yes, so there is no way I can match Sarah's enthusiasm as I read her report. And also, I'm reading this cold, so if I stumble over a few words, I'm going to apologize. So this is Sarah's report from Sunset. Mr. Main was named Teacher of the Year at Sunset High School. 11th grade students who obtain a proficient score on the California Assessment of Student Achievement and Progress, the CASP exam, receive 5 units of high school credit. Nice. The annual Sunset High School dodgeball games were held on campus from March 30th through April 6th. Mr. Marvel's advisory class won the games between students. In the match between students and staff, students won this year. A barbecue was held on the last day before spring break. Students and staff were in attendance. The peer-assisted listeners and Interact are making fleece blankets for the Polinsky Center as their last project for this school year. An admissions workshop for MiraCosta College was held at Sunset High School on April 18th. They are going to have a half-day fishing trip for students and staff on April 25th. And progress continues to be made on planning for the new Sunset High School campus with construction completion estimated for fall of 2020. So she's already teed up Mr. Adelman for his presentation later this evening. I also have, so that's Sarah's report from Sunset, and I have Isaac's report for Tory Pines, and I can't do it as well as he does. He is away on college visits. So the Tory Pines ASB Commissioner of Assemblies ran the first annual Minute to Win It competition. It consisted of a full week of lunch competition games for which students signed up in pairs. It was a blast. The week prior to spring break, they held a spirit week of dress-up days, including Workout Wednesday and College Gear Friday for those who have committed to the next educational destination. On Thursday before spring break, the counseling department held an evening meeting for juniors, including a comprehensive presentation on college graduation requirements. On graduation requirements, college requirements, essay ACT testing, and the new senior class of 2019 online classroom. Overall, students and parents new to the college process were able to receive all of this in an organized approach. Isaac is personally excited for the next school play, Shakespeare's comedy, The Merry Wives of Windsor, because he is playing Master Page. The show will run from May 9th through the 12th, and from the 15th through the 17th in the Black Box. He hopes to see you all there. It's co-directed by Ms. Payne and student Tiffany Salatino. Mr. Coppo and the administration team have begun planning stages for the new Performing Arts Center. The location of food service will be improved with a new building, and they hope to see a new cohesive campus come together. Info Night and their tours have been very successful. Enrollment numbers are up for the first time in 4 years. We're glad to see that families are becoming more informed and choosing the correct school. This is Isaac's report. Then he says, jokes aside, Tory Pines is excited to see our new baby Falcons on campus this fall. Falconer is currently soliciting students for their 2018 college map via Facebook. He personally loves this tradition and is excited to browse the annual end-of-year student destination map. He feels an excitement in the air for the seniors as they finish out their high school careers strong. Lastly, the May 18th prom theme has been announced. Havana, the Tropicana Club. Promotional events, fundraisers, and dress buying is underway. Tory Pines ASB will be hosting the event at the Cape Ray in Carlsbad. They are partnering with the Princess Project to provide free prom dresses and accessories to any who cannot afford them. And I will say Isaac's report was as long as they usually are.
Mrs. Muir, do you have anything to report?
I just want to tell everyone of you, I'm sure you know this, that college night is next Wednesday night from 6 to 8:30 at Del Mar Fairgrounds. I want to thank, of course, Supervisor Christine Gaspar. We put it for grant, called her, and of course she stepped up and said she would absolutely make that happen, put that forward to the Board of Supervisors. Wrote an article this week to make sure we get all the kids going in the interview, Coast News at Del Mar Fairgrounds, just to let everybody know and make sure they get there. I also want to say, as you know, I've been my son, Scotland, of course, on golf and swimming, and every time I go anywhere, the parents are always very thankful about the money, and I don't, maybe I haven't reiterated that enough, but it's nice to hear that, you know, they realize that that was a great thing, and that all the kids can participate, and that's nice to hear. Mr. Golden, of course, was in the paper today, and he's amazing. And the student that he had in his paper today, a great kid that I've known for a long time. And speaking of the math, it's all those kids did math 24 minutes to student school district, something I'm proud of. So glad they've been successful. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. The Friday right after our last board meeting, I had the opportunity to go to the Visual and Performing Arts Strategic Planning Committee meeting. This is a committee that was set up for just right before meetings to discuss VPA in the district. And we are being led by a facilitator for the California Arts Project to develop a five-year plan for the performing arts. And it was a nice collaboration and representation of both teachers and parents throughout the district to really focus on what the district VPA plan should be and how we can make it, improved and really fulfill students' chances to get involved in that, whether it's a career choice or just something that they'd like to experience. And so that was great. We have that one coming up. Went to the Torrey Pines High School Wellness Fair that was coordinated by the counselors at Torrey Pines, but was open to community groups to give their to share their resources on wellness. So that was great. And then the highlight of the night was Tyler Burnham, who is an author, and he spoke to parents in a humorous but informative way about responsible parenting. That's it.
Wow, you hit a lot of my stuff. Okay, I too was at the Visual and Performing Arts Strategic Planning Meeting, which was held at CCA. I also spent 2 days scoring essays for the Torrey Pines High School Scholarship Fund Awards. Always such an enjoyable activity, and learned so much about the kids through their essays. Really excellent. I also went to the Torrey Pines High School District Wellness Forum. Tyler Durham was an amazing speaker. He really had us engaged. And I also attended the Encinitas City School District Liaison Committee meeting.
As all of you received a letter from an organization, a new organization, I think, called Let's Speak Up, I did have the opportunity to meet with a member of the public who's concerned with that. Probably somehow dovetail with that wellness in a sense. I think this group is trying to do something where they can encourage students and or others, I guess, who have experienced some type of what they perceive as abuse or something in a school, an opportunity of some place to post this or to so that other people know. I'm not exactly sure of all the details, and I believe they're going to even make a presentation to us today during public comments. I also had the opportunity to go to San Diego High Academy High School and take a brief tour there and see those culinary facilities, which really were incredibly impressive and good to know that. For some students particularly who may not be interested in going directly to college, this is a wonderful opportunity to learn some skills which are obviously always needed.
And so that was the classes, too.
Pardon me?
I was surprised with John. They had some great classes all the way up to senior year, which was nice that they managed to
some levels.
Great
classes.
You will hear a little bit more about that tonight.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you. I was, for our San Diego County School Board meeting this month, we chose to do a field trip and went all the way to Cajon Valley for our meeting, and then went to Naranja Elementary down there in their district to see what their a program that they were kind of championing and writing materials for and so forth. It's called World of Work, and it's being used with, they're quite a multilingual Arabic I remember all languages, but their school billboards are all, in multiple languages, and it was really quite impressive. It's elementary, but to see how they were differentiating. But
where's Cajon Valley?
South. And
is it by Elko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but it was a lot of small group work, and they said it took a long time, a while getting the teachers and the students knowing what they're doing, but very well, a lot of self-directing starting from a young age, and it was actually very interesting to see. We don't have that young of children in our district, but I'm glad to see them trying something and maybe finding some new best practices. And as a matter of fact, I was really just realizing I had some family emergency things going on and realized I missed the Encinitas meeting that I was supposed to be at, and I'm hoping you gave them my excuses. But I think they'll keep our report brief. And
we covered for you.
Thank you.
Since the last meeting, I did have one trip up to Sacramento to do some advocacy. I met with several of our representatives, along with some other folks who were influential on the ed committees, budget committees, one person who's running for state superintendent as well, and also met with representatives from CalSTRS and CalPERS just to coordinate advocacy on perhaps some relief on the rates that we're paying with STRS and PERS. If I had four talking points with those folks, it was increasing the local control funding formula base, ensure ongoing funding for career technical education, equalize and increase funding for special education, and release state school construction bonds so that we can get some of that state reimbursement. I will say that on both sides of the aisle, because I met with people from both parties, there is support for all four of those things. It's just a matter of can they get it through and can they get a signature from the governor. And if it's that, then what won't they be doing if they channel? But very positive support on those four things, and there are a number of bills that are in the assembly to do those things that have been sailing through committees. Just a couple of other things. On Sunday, I was down at Liberty Station, and I participated in the Anti-Defamation League's Walk Against Hate, because four of our schools, DeGagno Middle School, and we'll hear from Mr. Copeland a little bit later, Oak Crest Middle School, Torrey Pines, and Canyon Crest all received their No Place for Hate designations for this year. This is also a program that LCC and SDA have done in the past, and that is a program that our schools have done to incorporate anti-bullying and anti-bias messaging in our existing programs and align that with our resources whenever we're doing assemblies, presentations, or other parts of the curriculum. So it's a very comprehensive program that is about 1,700 schools nationwide participate in that. And so we're continuing to do that. And then we also had a meeting with the Sandy Hook Promise folks over the phone, and so Gabby mentioned that they had a kickoff presentation on the Sandy Hook Promise. Mr. Miller is going to give a little bit of an update on that program later on an item, but that's yet another program that's a comprehensive violence prevention, suicide awareness, anti-bullying program, and Mr. Miller will give you all the details on the activities at school. It's student and staff led. It has apps, websites, and other ways, and other efforts that they help coordinate with the community to help reduce violence and increase awareness at the schools. So next week, we have a meeting here with all of our principals and Sandy Hook Promise representatives to help kick off that program. And right after that, I've got all five elementary district superintendents coming, and we're going to talk about having that be a K-12 district-wide program. It's really a program that's designed for 7-12, but it can be scaled down to the elementary. So sometimes we look at these programs, and they're really elementary, and we try to make them more appropriate for older kids. This is the opposite, where we've got a program specifically designed for our audience, but the elementaries are interested in doing that as well.
So I talked to my neighbor about the whole thing, so are you going to extend for an invitation? She's our local rep.
We've got meetings already set up with their national representatives, because they're going to be in town for that day. So if they invite her as to be part of that, we've already got all that lined up.
Please send that to me and I'll then maybe she can fill it
with her
end.
Sure. And then the next day, on Friday, I will be attending all-day meeting with the district attorney, the San Diego County Office of Ed, the superintendents from throughout the county, and law enforcement, and we will be talking about school safety and a coordinated countywide approach to threat assessment, violence prevention. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that's coming together, and we can talk about this from maybe a community-wide perspective rather than district by district by district.
No, Summer's definitely going to be there.
Yes, she's actually the one who put out the invitations.
Right, I actually called her.
Yeah.
About this.
Yep. Thanks. And then the last thing, I'm sorry to keep going, is we asked the board to consider which graduation ceremonies they would like to attend this year. Ms. Muir mentioned earlier in the day that she's interested in La Costa Canyon and Degaño, I believe. I know Ms. Herman has some preferences, but is flexible, so I'll throw it out to you. We can go down whether you want to throw out your preferences or if I want to go school by school, however you think.
I thought about it a little bit and thought Sunset and Pacific Trails would be okay. Great.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been to SDA in a while. I'd be happy to go there, but I know it's the north part of the district, so I don't know if that is something you'd rather do.
I'm flexible too, so
okay.
I like to visit all of them eventually.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to go.
Been a while, so mix it up.
Okay. Okay,
so that leaves at the high schools. That leaves CCA and Torrey Pines.
Which is the earlier one? CCA.
CCA is the earlier one.
Yeah, I'll do the CCA.
Okay.
I'm Tori. Is that what we're saying?
So that would be Beth would be Tori Pines. And then at the middle schools, we've got, they all happen at the same time, so all at 10:30 in the morning, Carmel Valley, Earl Warren, and Oak Crest.
I'll do Earl Warren. Okay.
I'll do either one. Who doesn't have two yet? Is there anyone?
It'd be you.
Just
John
two
and
of
Beth.
Do you have a preference?
So Carmel Valley or Oak Crest?
Oak Crest.
Okay.
There we go. Thank
okay, that was easy.
Hi, digressors. What is the Sandy Hook? Someone to call my neighbor
then. We are meeting. I'll send that in the report tomorrow. It's Thursday afternoon. I'll have to look up the time.
Next week?
Yes, in this
here.
Building.
I have just one other thing to share as well. I don't know if this is going to be discussed later, but San Diego County does a high school Master Chef's culinary competition every year. I went a few years ago. It is incredible. It's so interesting. Teams from around the county work in a very large kitchen as teams, and they produce some amazingly exotic dishes. Just incredible. And then there are real chefs who sit and taste and judge. And it was such an enjoyable experience. It's being held the Art Institute of California, and it is on
next Friday morning.
April 27th, yes, at 7:30 a.m.
So I can top that as we were at SDA today. Is that I told, and I see here today that you know the teacher's not here, I said, why don't they do a video of all their cooking, their recipes, just like we do, and then put them online. Mm. And then get it on YouTube.
Well, we will be hearing about the Master Chef. Thank you, Ms. D'Alessandro, because we will be hearing about that very event when Mr. Zapata gets up here. That's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's a preview of things to come, but I know that was one of the things Mr. Zapata was going to mention in a few moments. But
all right. Well, if we're done with our reports, it's time maybe to move forward into our LCAP priority reports, the first of which is Jeff Copeland, who's our principal from Degaño Middle School, who's here to talk about math, ELA, achievement.
I think Mr. Copeland is mainly going to focus on the math. And yes. Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you, school board members and Superintendent Dill and the rest of our management team for the opportunity to update you and brag a little bit about Degaño Middle School. And by the way, special thank you to Marcy Rushing, our ASB advisor, for spearheading that No Place for Hate designation. She did a great job, so and thank you for supporting that. Our first LCAP goal for this year in our site single plan for student achievement is that all students will achieve at or above grade level in English, Language Arts, and Math. And when you look at our SBAC scores since the baseline assessment 2015, we're pleased to say that Degaño students have demonstrated steady growth during the past two school years. This includes our overall numbers for 7th and 8th grade ELA and math, as well as each of our student groups. For example, in ELA, about 79% of our students scored in the standard met or exceeded range, and that's up from 4% from the previous year and 8% from 2015's baseline, and 24% higher than the San Diego County average. And in math, about 75% of our students scored in the standard met or exceeded range, up 3% from the previous year, 10% from the baseline year, and 30% higher than the San Diego County average. Additionally, each of our student groups has demonstrated steady progress. Included in that is our students with disabilities, who had an increase of more than 10% in ELA from the previous year, more than 18% from the baseline year. And in math, that same group had an increase of 13% during the last 2 years. And that's just one example of the growth among all of our student groups, which includes our English learners, our economically disadvantaged students, as well as our redesignated English proficient students. Each of these groups has shown significant and steady improvement since the baseline test in 2015. However, despite this growth, our data from multiple sources shows that we have students at DeGaño who still need additional assistance. In particular, during the school day, when we can create consistency and also have more control over their attendance. In order to address students in need of reading support during the 16-17 school year and through the first semester of this school year, we've offered two sections of a course called Read 180 for both 7th and 8th graders. Both of those sections were paid for by our LCAP funds. These are students who have demonstrated through this classic reading inventory assessment that's given at or near the start of the school year that they were not reading at grade level. Periodically during the school year, also, students are enrolled in the class if they're being referred by teachers to our site's intervention team. Of course, students who are struggling with comprehension are at a huge disadvantage, not only in their English courses, but in all subject areas. Additionally, without this intervention, as students make their way into high school and the difficulty level rises, these students are likely to continue to struggle, leading to increased frustration and also putting graduation in jeopardy. We're happy to report that the students in our Read 180 have made excellent improvement during the past three semesters. Of the 48 students enrolled in our reading support, more than 80% have increased their grade level by anywhere from 1 to 4 grade levels. Of that, 14 students went up 1 grade level, 8 students 2 grade levels, 12 students went up 3 grade levels, and we had 5 students actually go up 4 grade levels. And that's a very short period of time. In addition to reading support, this year we've also offered a Math A Skills, that's for 7th graders, and a Math B Skills class for 8th graders. Both of those were paid for with our Title I funds. These classes were designed as an intervention not for special ed students, but for college prep students who had demonstrated signs of struggling in math the previous year or during the course of the school year based on their classroom performance and or their previous SBAC scores. Teachers also offered their feedback as to which students would most likely benefit from this intervention course. And like the reading support class, this course actually served as a student's elective until he or she demonstrated no further need of it. So this year, again, being the first year we've offered Math A and B skills, we've had 14 students in Math A and 14 students in Math B skills. Of those, in Math A, for example, 7, so half of them, are earning an A or a B currently in their regular math class. So it's in their regular math class. 6 of the remaining 7 have earned a C. In Math B, of the 14, 7 are earning a B right now, 4 of them are earning a C in their regular Math B class. Now, those results are especially significant considering that almost all of those students had earned below average grades in math in their 6th and 7th grade classes and were showing signs of significant deficiencies in math. So the Math A skills and Math B skills has been a lifesaver for those 28 kids. We also offer 4 sections of Math Essentials, 2 for 7th grade, 2 for 8th grade. That's a remediation course which covers essential Math A and B standards. Essentials Math is also for students who have scored standard not met or not nearly met on their SBAC scores. We've had about 100 students enrolled in this course the last 2 years each year, so about a little more than 10% of our student population. The 7th grade students who take Math Essentials, at the end of the year, if they perform at a certain level, they're offered the opportunity to pass a summer bridge course that would enable them then in 8th grade to be in a college prep Math B class. During the 16-17 school year, so last year, the students who were in Math Essentials A, about 20% of them were able to bridge up to Math B for their 8th grade year. That might not sound like an incredible percentage, but most of those kids would still be below grade level if not for the Essentials course. Of course, in order to most effectively serve the students in need of support in reading and math, you need the right teachers in place. Doesn't matter what the course is, you need the right teachers in place. And thankfully, we've had that at DeGainio. Therefore, I'd like to take this evening, if you don't mind just for a minute, to offer a quick shout out to our intervention coordinator, Emily Coulter, our Math A and B skills teachers, Allison Odin and Ryan Yee, respectively, our Math A and B essentials teachers, Stephanie Lewis and Jason Moldovan, and also our reading support teachers, Jacqueline Carney and Lori Brady. They've been fabulous with our kids who need extra support during the school day, so thankfully they're on our campus. We take great pride in serving the students on our campus who need this extra support. San Diego School District obviously does not have as high of a percentage of kids in need as other school districts, but we have them. So we take great pride in helping those kids. It means the world to us when we see students showing signs of struggle, and then we're able to help them progress and find success. Obviously, this progress will factor into everything these students do in and outside of the classroom. Thank you for listening and sharing in my joy of serving students in need. On a personal note, as you know, I have elected for mostly family reasons not to return to my post as principal of DeGainio next year. I'd like to take this opportunity to publicly thank the board for all of your support and guidance during the past 3 years as principal and also my 10 years as an administrator in this district. I've always been impressed by your devotion to our school sites and how you always put kids first. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to serve the school communities of Carmel Valley, the CCA, and also DeGainio. And I'd also like to thank Superintendent Dill, Cindy Frazee, Mark Miller, Dr. Grove, and Tina Douglas for their unending support and guidance and leadership during the last 10 years. It's because of them I'm a much better educator than I was and a much better person than I was. And I look forward to the next chapter in my life, which will be English teacher at Pacific Trails Middle School. Go Wolves. Thank you, guys.
Any questions for Mr. Copeland while we have him?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. Is I support a lot of those kids. I was with the Kiwanis, and I fundraised and gave books to those kids to get them reading. Is one thing I don't think people realize, I was also on the library board, is books are free. If they get a membership at the library, they can pull a book down 24 hours a day, and it just falls off after 3 days. A lot of times kids are like, I can't afford a book, I don't know where to get one. Just get a library card and you just call the online.
Absolutely.
Is the library is connected to the whole system, and then you know what? Get a reading.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Sure.
And I want to thank Mr. Copeland. And you know, as I said to you and your staff a few weeks ago, that you know, all principals are teachers first, and you certainly exude that as you stand up here and take pride in the achievement of your students.
Absolutely.
So thanks for all the work
thank
that
you.
You've done there.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your report this evening. And now we have Manuel Zapata here to speak to us about couple different topics, I guess. Accountability, special programs, CTE.
We're just going to get CTE tonight.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Good evening. And thanks for the opportunity to present today about the progress we have made in our CTE programs. It has been a year of significant changes and accomplishments in our CTE programs district-wide. And I'm really excited to tell you about some of those changes and accomplishments. As you're aware, one of our priority goals in our LCAP is to ensure that all students are college and career ready. Today, I will briefly touch on a few of the planned actions and services that support this goal, including the improvement and expansion of our CTE pathway, professional development, collaboration with our feeder districts, and increasing the number of industry partners in our CTE classes. The improvement and expansion of CTE pathways has been a focal point for us over the last 2 years. This year, my staff and I provided professional development to all CTE teachers to update their course descriptions, their course outlines, and their course profiles. In your folder, you have a copy of all of the planned CTE pathways for each of the school sites for the 18-19 school year. This includes also the all the updated descriptions for the CTE courses. This document has been shared with school sites and with other stakeholders to inform and educate our community on the new CT courses and pathways. Some of our courses here in our pathways are also UC approved. One of our goals this year was to increase the number of UC approved CT courses. And I'm happy to inform you that 25 out of the 52 courses are UC approved now. That's a significant increase compared to last year. We almost doubled the number of courses that are UC approved. I'm also happy to announce that my staff and I successfully wrote a grant to build a new culinary arts facility at La Costa Canyon High School that will include a small garden. With the support of the grant and the district bond, we will start a new farm-to-table concept at LCC. This grant will allow us also to expand our existing collaboration with our feeder district and Encinitas Union, specifically their farm lab. Dr. Grove, my team and I met recently with leaders from Encinitas to discuss, you know, specifically that farm-to-table concept and how we can use their farm lab to support our students. We also discussed, among other things, computer science, you know, a K-12 computer science pathway, teaching and learning, and video film, among other things. Last thing I want to touch here is our continuing efforts to increase relationships with industry partners. As part of our commitment to the high-quality CTE program, we have focused on increasing authentic industry partnership for our CTE teachers. One successful partnership we had this year was one with the Coastal Community Foundation, which has helped us bring many local professionals into our CTE classes, and they also donated $25,000 in mini grants to all of our CTE programs to support with supplies, equipment, and things they need to enrich our CTE programs. The last thing, San Diego North County Development Council has also reached out to them to get more partners into our classes. Ms. D'Alessandro talked today about the MasterChef competition, so I'd like to extend also an invitation for you to attend next Friday at the San Diego Art Institute in Mission Valley. I think there's a flyer in your folder as well. And so, as she said, there will be some judges, some celebrity judges that will be judging our team. And as you remember, San Diego Academy won the competition last year. They're the defending champions. So they'll need all of our support to defend their title. And, you know, before taking their competition there, they wanted to bring their plate so that you can be the judges today. So please welcome our San Diego Academy students.
All right.
Would one of them like to take a moment? To
tell
us.
Yes, they're going to tell you the rest.
What is it, actually?
Cheese. Actually. This is what I focused on, but so, thank you.
Why don't we get our three students?
Thank you.
If we could get our three students and Mr. Huntley maybe showcase your dish. We need your dish in your hands. And let's see. Let me get you guys over here because I need to get everybody a photo here.
There you go.
Walking the
hall. We're good. You're fine. You're
going. Okay. All right. Make it work. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
I'm going to go to the place.
So the students are not going to explain the recipe that they're going to present next week during the competition. So, please.
There you go.
Okay, so for the MasterChef competition, we're required to use poultry for the meat, and we're using duck breast. And right now, it's inspired by a traditional Korean dish, bulgogi. And, the sauce is made with the same sauce, basically, for the bulgogi. And it was fabulous.
And for our starch, we did a mix of a short grain rice with a 7-grain Korean rice that he actually used to eat when he lived in Korea as a kid.
I still do. It's called chapo bap.
Yeah, and then it's flattened and pressed into a panko breadcrumb patty. And then for the veggie, we did a charred baby bok choy, and in it is some gochujang sauce, which is like, usually the gochujang itself is like a chili paste, and then it's mixed with some sugar, soy sauce, some different oils into to make it nice and seasoned, and then it's just a little bit charred, and that's the veggie. And then we have a yuzu reduction sauce, and yuzu is a traditional Asian fruit. It's known for its zest being very citrusy. It's really tasty. It's kind of like a Meyer lemon and a grapefruit mix. It's really good. And then we have a poached egg on top of the rice cake. And for the competition day, hopefully we're going to do actually a poached duck egg. Right now it's just a regular egg, but that's what we're planning on. And then there's some black sesame seeds on top of that. And then there's also green onions as a garnish.
That's amazing.
Okay.
So,
we're
there today.
So, what about if you try and do it right there?
Opening it online.
Struggle.
What was that?
What about video games? You're taking your cooking, you know, with your phone and putting it online.
Huh.
Oh. That would be amazing.
She makes me start a cooking show.
Maybe one day.
And I bet, you know what? I bet your, everybody would really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Scott, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, so as Momo was saying, this is for the MasterChef competition, and MasterChef, I wish they would videotape that contest, mm-hmm. because really if you watch Top Chef or Chopped or a little bit of Hell's Kitchen thrown in there, it's kind of how the whole event operates. Students show up, and they have 1 hour to completely create this dish. So nothing can be prepped. No spice mixes made, no sauces made, no green onions cut. They show up with everything in a raw state. The importance is on the professionalism, and so the judges are all culinary instructors, and so it'll start with them coming, being checked in. Everything's going to be checked for proper temperatures when we arrived, you know, so the protein is kept at the proper chill temperature, and nothing has been prepped or adulterated, and so then they say go, and then we have, the kids have an hour to create it, and then it will be hopefully looking pretty much like that. It's a really nice dish, and as they said, you know, we have a student in class who has ducks, and she's going to bring us in some duck eggs so we can poach it, and that would go with the duck breast, of course. Each year, they choose a different protein. So last year was beef, this year is poultry, so we chose duck as our poultry, a little bit of flair to it. And, it's just a great opportunity for the kids to show off what they do in class at a much higher level than we get to do every day in class with much less pressure, too. Or, sorry, much more pressure. So we've been competing, I think, for about 7 or 8 years, and it's just always a great, great opportunity.
Well, as a principal at SDA, you can understand why Scott's classroom was my favorite to visit.
that's the recipe. So I'm going to pass around the recipe. Again, they're still practicing. Today was a practice.
It's the menu, not the recipe.
I have three periods of sous chefs, which are my sort of teaching assistants in the class. They've been through a couple of different levels of the culinary courses, and I had each different period form a team and compete against the other periods. Mm-hmm. And so this group of kids were the winners of that sous chef competition, and we've been working for the past month kind of developing the menu, honing in some different ingredients, some experimentation, going in different directions, and then heading back in a different direction.
Good luck. Are they judging over here?
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
Wonderful.
I left a little hint to the rice.
Yes.
And the charring on the bok choy.
Thank you, students. Thank you,
staff. Beautiful presentation. Wonderful. Thank you.
In closing, really quick, I just want to thank the board and the district leadership for their support this year and the past few years with CTE. We have built an amazing program, I think, district-wide. We have amazing teachers that really, really are very passionate about what they teach. Scott is one of them, and they do an excellent job with the students, and we really are getting students college and career ready. So thank you. Thank you for your opportunity, and thank you for all your support. At this point, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. Yes.
Wonderful program. Thank you so much. And it's great to see the culinary programs and all the schools that have kind of been enhanced by the facilities with great teachers. We have had some questions about special ed students having access and ability to take some of the courses. Has there been more progress in that area? Or
there has, and I've been working with Mark on that. We have been making plans to include, we have open access. All of our CTE courses are open access to all students. Obviously, some need additional support and all that, so we're working on getting that with his new task force and working on that as well.
So we're going to take kids
yes.
that are going to be in those classes next year, or are they in the classes now?
That's the goal.
So I'd say that we have students with disabilities in all throughout our master schedule.
Making that more available. My question for you is, I saw you got the coastal grant from, and you got the ice cream machine, you saw that today.
Yes.
And then you've got the garden, so that is from the Leech State Foundation?
No, that will come from the grant that we applied for that CDE approved for us.
No, I meant, and you work with the NCSU and the school district.
We're working with the NCSU, yes.
And so, because I thought, how much is that? I thought it was like $2 million.
The grant?
The garden grant?
Well, that's between Encinitas School District and them, so, yeah.
So my question is, what about technology? Are you going to look into, it's great you're getting grants, you explore more to that, enhance that, because that's really where things are going, the technology.
Yep. Like what type of technology are you talking about?
Well, I just know that the kids come back and they say they're not as prepared. Who would like them more prepared with their skills and computer skills?
I think if you look at the career pathways that are in your packet, you'll see a variety of courses in engineering, computer.
In the area, for example, in the area of computer science, we're exploring possibilities where we can start students in elementary, third, fourth grade to do some coding, get into a computer science program at middle school, and then finish with our computer science pathways at the high school. So we're doing a comprehensive K through 12 computer science pathway.
Yeah,
that's one way. And then
part of the coding then.
Exactly. And then we're doing
but
STEM.
That was just elective. It wasn't really coding in general. Is that I just think that are you going to do more, get more, explore that more? That's what I'm trying to get at. What direction are you going in?
So our goal, right now we don't have a computer science program at our middle schools.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to have one there in the next 2 years so that when students come from our Encinitas and Del Mar district with some coding, they can enter a middle school program and then eventually get to our very comprehensive high school computer science program where they can take up to AP computer science and complete that path.
So is that going to be a grant, or how do you make that happen?
We're going to work with
that's within the existing CTE program that we have in the district. Yeah.
And so it's going to be implemented next year?
I wouldn't say next year, probably the following year. We're working right now with our feeders to really implement a plan, create a plan, then implement it during 1920. That's our goal.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Very
good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
So I don't want to hog this plate over here. If you would like me to pass this down, I'm happy to. I know that the associate superintendents have already tested it. But if you just want to get down to business, I'll let it tantalize me over here for the rest of the evening.
Thank you. Well, this brings us to public comments. I have some speaker slips that are for this point in our agenda. So I'd like to call Laura, is it making forward?
Yes, I saw it at the march.
Oh, that's right.
You're with my friend, Maya. All right, good evening. My name is Laura Meekins, and I'm a resident of the district and a parent of a current ATP student. I have a multitude of questions for you, but let's just start with some information shared by Cherie Benet, the program supervisor for ATP at LCC. I asked her via email if I could attend the ATP Parent Advisory Meeting and if it was a public meeting like the task force. She informed me via email that this is not similar to the task force, It's a parent group meeting for parents of existing HP students only, similar to high school foundations. Now, clearly, she does not know what a foundation is or does if she thinks it's anything like this group. I have to ask, what is the big secret? Why are these meetings not open to the public? Only the people with a vested interest, such as coming into ADP in the next few years, would want to attend. For transparency, I think you should think about opening these meetings to the public. It's just a parent advisory meeting. The person who wanted to come has a student coming into ATP next year. Why can't she come to this meeting? I just think those should be open to the public. Currently in ATP, we have no teacher. For some reason, we just have a rotating set of subs. Some days, no subs. It's just the aides running the class, and they are not qualified, nor are they paid to do the teacher's work. April 5th, we got an email from Cherie Benet saying Mrs. E had been out for a few weeks, and as of today, and has no return set date. And so, as of today, we still have no teachers. So that's a month, give or take, but no teacher for my son's class. Do you know why? Because I don't know why. And neither do the students. And I have to tell you, the difficulty of dealing with this this constant change is causing behaviors for most of the students in the class, and the other classes as well, that the other teachers have to cover, and so their students are also neglected. These behaviors extend beyond this classroom. I will share my personal story, which is not exactly my proud parenting moment, but my son is completely spun right now and having a terrible time sleeping. He got up in the middle of the night, took a little walk. I woke up at 12:15 and said, "Where's Kenton?" He had left the house barefoot and in his pajamas. He had been walking around Encinitas for 2 hours when the sheriff finally found him and brought him home. He was on his way home. He had just gone to check on some people, and this is something he's never done, something I hope he never does again. It was not a fun moment, and this is the kind of thing that happens when they are in this inconsistent situation. They need more than anything to have consistency. I just have a little more. Can I please continue?
If you can wrap it up.
We have been informed that transportation and support from the district they have provided for the MiraCosta classes will be only for the lowest level class, the basic academic skills class. Is MiraCosta and San Diego working together to make it difficult for adults with disabilities to get a college education? It sure feels that way. When one door opens, another one closes. MiraCosta is offering more options than ever, and San Diego pulls back support at that time. How are these decisions made? As for the new location for ATP, I'm sad that the district ruined a great location for ATP by trying to pull a fast one with the substandard portables at Erlewarm. The Sunset location has a location problem written all over it, and if you do go with this plan, you need to allocate funds for an ATP bus or van to transport ATP students to jobs, community outings like the library, grocery stores, etc., and to MiraCosta. And don't wait to do it. Allocate the money now, right now. ATP students walk from LCC to nearby businesses, but some can't. It's clear these students and staff need transportation now. I wonder what's happening as far as the Green Report and all those recommendations. Maybe someone from special ed would like to show us how those things are being implemented, because I'm not seeing anything happening on my end.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Lucille Lynch. I, too, am a parent of a son in an ATP program. I will touch on that in a bit, but I'm really here to make sure that this board is aware of what's going on at MiraCosta Community College. This district is a member consortium over at MiraCosta's Adult Ed Block Grant program. But what you may not know is that for 2 years, they have not had public meetings, which they're required to do under the Brown Act as well as the Ed Code. As a result, they've been allocating funding for 2 years beyond public scrutiny. I have been raising this issue, and we have so far recovered $143,000 of WIOA grant funding that was misallocated. But through this process, some good things have come of it. One of it has been the increase of classes. Traditionally, MiraCosta offered a single adult basic skills program, even though the Donahoe Act and the Community College Apportionment Act states that vocational and academic programs should be for all residents of the state of California. One of that, in touching on community, the computer classes, it started a computer class. Because, as you know, I've been urging this district to adopt a more structured program for ATP instead of an activity-based program similar to elementary school. But MiraCosta is trying to do that. They developed a Computer 1 and a Computer 2 basic skills class this year, and they are broadening the program next year to include a life skills education class, an effective life skills. What we learned, and what Ms. Makings touched on, is that this district has decided not to transport ATP students to those programs next year. It will only transport students to the adult ed basic skills class, but they've already taken that class. And many of these students have taken the Computer 1 class, but now they will not be allowed to, through this ATP program, which is supposed to be based on individual educational needs, to transport to the Community 2 class, or Computer 2 class. They also will not be transported to the effective life skills class. Why is this important? This is important because our ATP program is currently not offering a lot of the programs and needs that students need through their individual transition programs, such as culinary arts. They need to learn how to meal prepare. They need how to prepare budgeting. We don't even have access to the LCC kitchens. They're literally 10 feet away from some of the classrooms. And LCC ends early. ATP goes till 3:30. Why aren't we using this valuable asset to help our students in ATP? We're not using it. There are days when LCC gets out midday. We're still not using it. Our students are using how to use a microwave. That is the limit of their independent living skills in terms of culinary arts. We can do better. I also want to let you know that what's also happening is ATP programming. We're really struggling because, what, we still don't have courses. So students in one class might be doing some work. A student in another class is not doing work. I heard from a parent who has a daughter who's nonverbal. She doesn't even have assistive technology to help her communicate. What I had proposed, and I just want to let the board know, I had proposed, since we have three classes and three teachers, that we have structured classes so we have measurable accomplishments at the end of each semester. We don't have that. When we tried to provide input, we were told it was hearsay on what parents wanted to say. So that's why I'm here before you. It is not hearsay. It is parent input. I hope that you encourage more structured courses at ATP. Thank you.
Thank you. Leah Wolf.
Hi, good evening. I'm the founder, a co-founder of an organization called Let's Speak Up. This year, Larry Nassar, Monsters Act, broke the news. Kind of, it touched my heart that over 257 young athletes were victim by Larry Nassar, and nobody did anything for over 20 years. I realized those were national news, but investigating closely this incident, I found out that a lot of the abuse against kids and girls goes on in our communities as well. These practices go on despite there is clear guidelines, law, statutes that protect our kids, but administrators, principals, cover up with these underground practices that they kind of silence the kids, the parents, and protect the offenders. So this year, we decided with a group of 10 parents to form this organization to be a voice for the kids, for the students who get violated and feel embarrassed, ashamed, or afraid to speak up because they're going to be retaliated by school officials or teachers that gets protected because of their assaults against our kids. So one of the things I would like to do, raise, first of all, these issues, raise awareness to these issues. These things are going on here, and you are aware of it, I hope. I don't know if the board is aware of it, but I know there is many complaints against teachers in this district itself. If anybody reads the Voice of San Diego, a teacher by the name Boyd has been abusing girls for over 10 years, and the district and school officials did nothing. All they do, they pay out these guys, keep them there, or pass the trash. They shift them to another school district to continue the abuse. So for me, this year, this is my mission with my group of parents that we formed this group, is to raise awareness to these issues and become the voice for these parents. My question is, how can we collaborate with this district in order to raise this awareness, educate parents of their rights, and also take immediate actions where these assaults happen and not wait 60 days and not even 10 years? I mean, it's insane. These kids get hurt, emotionally devastated. The second thing is the complaint process. There is clear complaint process in place. There should be a Title IX coordinator in the district that takes care of these issues. I would like to see if this district can take the initiative to educate parents about their rights and how to file a complaint, and also shorten the time where the complaints get resolved. I'm just going to finish with one more statement. Let's Speak Up created an app. It's a technology app in real time where parents or students can file a complaint in details anonymously, and it can match with the offenders or school officials that doing nothing about it, and send them, say, there are other offenders in the system, other complaints about this offender, that they can take an action. So to close my my comments for tonight, I would like to see if this board can dedicate a board meeting and time to go through the process, what the process here in this district. Also, I reached out to Mark Miller and Joe Schultz to ask to put the item on the agenda. It has been 2-3 weeks. I have not gotten any response how to put it on the agenda. I got a response that we will follow up. Hi, Mark. Nice meeting you. I'm Leah, by the way.
Yeah, and you got my email, correct?
I did not get your email.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I did not.
Okay.
And also, when a parent requests for any information that you have, it should be a simple link. Say, here is our process, how to do this. I shouldn't be waiting 2 weeks to get a response, which I didn't get. But anyways, I would like to really work collaboratively in some ways to really give parents and students some tools that we already built in order to address these issues.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Wendy Gum. I'm a parent, taxpayer in the school district. There's a lot of stuff on the agenda tonight. There was a lot of things I wanted to talk about, but I'm just going to talk about one issue. As you all know, leadership is extremely important to me. I come every week for the last 18 months or every month and explain how accountability, transparency, and leadership is important in this district. Meeting with a lot of community members over the last year, we've decided to take action because we think it's important that we have transparent and good leadership in our district, and we feel the only way to do that is to remove the failed leadership from our school board. So please let this serve as our notice of intention to circulate a recall petition for Joyce D'Alessandro, and here is our personal notice of that. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to our item 11, our consent agenda item. Items 11 through 15. And I would be, we did not have anything pulled off of this, so if...
I want to pull item of the consent.
We already approved
the agenda.
Oh, you didn't ask if there was any items to be pulled.
But she asked if there was approval for the agenda as presented.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot going on.
Well, I can... We're going to have comments, right?
We can before the actual vote.
I
can ask specific. So, I need a motion to approve items 11 through 15.
Move approval.
Thank you. We have a second.
Second.
All right. Did you what? Just
yeah. Just I've already spoken to Mr. Diller. I got an email from him on 12B1, the Shaw HR consulting contract. The main I just didn't understand in your writing, though, is this a requirement that we have to have this type of person, or there isn't somebody on the staff who could do that?
I can answer that. So this is a facilitator for under the Americans with Disabilities Act for something that's called the Good Faith Interactive Process, which is something that is required when an employee requests accommodations for their disability in order to do the essential functions of their job.
Okay.
And you don't have to use an independent facilitator, but if there is any inkling that there's, you know, going to be, you know, disparity in between what the employee is requesting and what we're able to provide, it's good to have that independent person in there because they can bring both parties together in order to find a solution into how to accommodate their job. And so most commonly you see this following a workers' compensation injury as they're transitioning back to work, and sometimes it's while they're still in the process of transitioning, sometimes it's once they've been determined they have a permanent disability. How are they going to continue to be employed? Sometimes they've got legal representation in that matter, and so you have an independent person to help moderate that. Sometimes it's somebody who something happens in their life, and you know, whether it's a loss of hearing or, you know, some other type of disability that occurs during the course of their employment, not employment related, and you use this person to, again, help bring both parties together. It's good because they don't have an interest in the outcome, and often the employer can be accused of, you know, saying they didn't offer certain accommodations or didn't agree because they felt it was unreasonable. Well, maybe the mediator felt it was and can help bring them together on that. Ultimately, you know, I will say we've been doing this for many, many years, and we used a different consultant in this process, but she retired and closed her shop, so we had to find a new one. I will say this saves us from litigation down the road, and so it's very positive to have this, you know, neutral person in there.
It's $350 an hour. How many hours? I mean, it's just hit or miss. You don't know how many
hours.
Yeah,
yes. Sometimes they're quick meetings. Other times you might have a series of meetings where you have to go back, explore options, come back, or wait for additional information from medical professionals. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes it's very quick.
Okay, yeah. That's all. I just wanted clarification.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded that we approve items 11 through 15 on our consent agenda.
I need to do a roll call.
One of many tonight.
Scott Geyer.
Yes.
Gabby Gleaner.
Yes.
Jack Hargis.
Yes.
Ms. Muir.
Oh, yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Mr. Salazar.
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes. Okay. Next. Okay. I came in, we came out of closed session a little bit late, so I'm going to just give the students a heads up that we have a couple of items here. I'd love to have you be involved in making motions as we look at adopting a resolution to declare May 7th through 11th as Teacher Appreciation Week and May 8th, 2018 as the Day of the Teacher. May I have a motion?
I'll motion.
Thank you. And I need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Scott Geyer.
Yes.
Gabby Gleaner.
Yes.
Jack Hargis.
Yes.
Ms. Muir.
Yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Mr. Salazar.
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes. And next is adoption of a resolution declaring May 20th through 26th, 2018 as Classified School Employees Week. So if I could have a motion to adopt the resolution, please.
Awesome.
Thank you. A second.
Gabby.
Gabby's goes forth. Roll call, please, Mr.
Scott Geyer.
Yes.
Gabby Gleaner.
Yes.
Jack Hargis.
Yes.
Ms. Muir.
Oh, yes.
Ms. Herman.
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Mr. Salazar.
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer.
Yes.
And before you get to the next item, I'll say that, as you heard from Mr. Copeland earlier today, there are many, many examples of the outstanding achievement by our employees, both certificated and classified, and how they support students every day. And when we get to these official weeks, there will be many activities to recognize those great staff that we have in the district.
I apologize, Ms. Frisee. I see your name. Did he just cover what we needed to
he
say?
He did it.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
My apologies.
No. We so, you know, appreciate everything that all of our teachers and all of our classified staff do. Without them, you know, we wouldn't exist. They touch our students every day.
Oh, thank you. Item 18, Ms. Douglas, maybe, would speak to us about acceptance of Prop 8A, Independent Citizens Oversight Committee annual report?
Yes.
Walk us through that.
So our Independent Citizens Oversight Committee is tasked with providing an annual report for the board. We have two of our outgoing members present here today. So Clark Keynes is our outgoing representative, and we have Ms. Rhea Stewart, who is our outgoing president. And as they're walking up to the podium, at our meeting, they elected new officers. So our new officers for next year, we have Robin Devine, who's going to be the president, Geraldine Larson, who's going to be the representative, and then Christina Leyva, who will be the secretary. But they're here tonight to present the report to you.
As our longest-serving members.
Well, thank you for coming this evening.
Good evening. It's my pleasure to be here tonight with Clark Keynes, representing the 10 members of the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee. We are proud to bring you the 2017 annual report with our recommendation to accept it. And as a moment of milestone, this would be the fifth report from the Oversight Committee. Our practice this year, as well as in years past, is to draft the report in an ad hoc committee. Then we bring that draft to a special meeting where we heard the auditor's report and then work as a team to finalize the details of that report.
The report provides insight and analysis of the bond measure, the committee, funds raised, project completion, and audit results. The report will be available to the public on the Prop AA ICOC section of the district website. Soon, right?
Tomorrow.
On behalf of the committee, we want to thank the board, the Prop AA funding and construction management team, the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, and their support teams, especially Cindy. For her professionalism, for their professionalism and support. Thank you. With that, we present to you our annual report for 2017.
Thank you. And we've all had a chance to look at that. I don't know if anyone have any questions.
No, I'd just like to thank both of you for your very long, dedicated service, and especially in this committee. Thank you so much.
And having transitioned away in the last year, away from being directly involved in those meetings, I want to thank you two plus the other eight members of the ICOC. For those who have attended those meetings, you will see that they ask lots of deep probing questions and understand what their role is in ensuring that we use those funds for exactly the specified purpose that the voters approved. They hold us accountable, and those are 2-hour-long meetings that we have with them, and sometimes at school sites, sometimes in here, and they all spend the time to understand the information, read all the materials, and ask questions when they have them. So they're great meetings, and so thank you to you, and please give my regards to the rest of the committee.
We will.
Thanks for coming to see you.
They're not quite off the hook yet. They still will be with us. Their term doesn't officially end until March, but we have new officers. Yeah, I'm starting.
And they will be. Yeah, they will be at the end of their terms.
Yes.
So I am seeking a motion to accept the Prop AA Independent Citizens Oversight Committee 2017 annual report as it was presented.
So moved.
Thank you. A second, please. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously then, and brings us to our safety update. And again, this comes from Ms. Douglas.
I'm just going to bring the mic over to me because I think I'm it for the rest of the evening.
Oh, okay.
let me help you.
It's all yours.
So we have been doing a lot fast and furious in terms of safety. So we, as we discussed the last board meeting, we plan on having a safety item on the agenda for now and until we get through some of the changes that we're making. And what we've done is some of the items that we might have typically put under consent, if it's surrounding safety, we've moved it under a safety item for action so that everybody is aware of what it is that we're working on. So we've talked about perimeter control, and as we've had representatives going out to school sites, our maintenance and operations team is going out to school sites, working with principals. Principals are securing campuses where campuses can be secured. We have school sites that have locked perimeter fencing during the school day, and then they open it back up for in the morning when the kids are coming to school, and they open it back up in the afternoon when kids are going out of school. So we're already doing some of that work. What is on the agenda tonight are two agreements for architectural engineering for perimeter gates around both Torrey Pines and SDA. Those are our two most open campuses. So those are two agreements that are on the board agenda for tonight for consideration. In addition to the perimeter security, we've identified a surveillance system that we would be using. And so another item that's on the agenda for consideration is to approve the CMAS agreement with Vector USA. They're a surveillance company that has been used throughout many school districts. They're used the city of Carlsbad, San Ygito County Water Authority. They have a vast experience with what the work that they're doing, and so we're looking to get approval to be able to use a CMAS agreement. And what that does, basically, that system works with what we have currently in place in terms of infrastructure. Right now, we've had the company go out to tour kind of Torrey Pines, if you will, as they're going to be our pilot school. And so they've identified where potential cameras could be placed. So what we're going to be doing is looking at that, identifying what that might look like, and then be able to start getting all of that up and running. At this point, it looks like we may not need to purchase additional servers. It's more of electrical and then the cameras themselves. And so that will be something that we'll be working on, and we'll have some installation for the start of the school year, before the start of the next school year. And so the hope is we'll be working on that between now and when that starts. So potentially it could be up sooner than that. It's a matter of time. The parts, the cameras, and things of that nature will need to be ordered. So there'll be some timeline involved with that. So in the May meeting coming up next month, we'll be bringing forward several safety board policies for the board's approval as we're moving towards surveillance. CSBA has some guidance around that in terms of board policies. So we're also in the process of updating our school site comprehensive plans, as well as our emergency operations center district plans. And those have board policies and administrative regulations that we'll be looking to update in preparation of revising those for our school safety committees. We will be including the associations as we're working through admin regs, as well as school site leadership, because another piece that we're going to be doing is a visitor management system. The company that we're looking at is Raptor. They're used and that throughout, again, many school districts and agencies, and it ties in with our infrastructure now. And so we'll be looking at adding that, and that will also have an implementation and an installation by the start of next school year, but we'll have to do some working with our associations and also with our site leadership in putting together what that looks like in terms of policies and practices, communication, just to make sure that everybody is aware of what it is that we're doing, because it will be something different. We would be requiring visitors to check in at one point of entry, so we will know at any given point in time who's coming onto our campuses. So that's another piece that's that we'll be working on. I think I've covered everything. So what we have in front of you tonight is the recommendation for the two architect services to be able to do the perimeter fencing at Torrey Pines and SDA, as well as the approval of the CMAS contract for the contract with Vector Resources for the purchase of the surveillance hardware. And
Surveillance only at Torrey Pines?
For right now, we want to use them as a pilot, and then once we make sure that everything is working properly, then there would be some expansion to other school sites.
Have you been working with the parents at Torrey Pines?
Sorry,
I have a question. Who's going to monitor these security cameras?
Well, that's all part of what we're going to be having conversations about. We're just now in the process of doing that, so we haven't identified a body per se. The cameras that we're looking at actually has some functionalities that, and there'll be one person, obviously, but whether or not we have a physical person monitoring 24/7, that hasn't come, and we haven't had any conversations around that. But there are some features with the cameras that can detect movement, and so there could be alerts that are set up that are sent out to administration. So we'll get more into detail with that.
I'm not so worried about it at night when school's not in session, but when school's in session, we need somebody monitoring.
What we're really trying to do is to improve the access control in general, and that's what the perimeter fencing is. So in order to channel anybody who's coming on and off to designated entrances and exits on campus, and so where we've got staff present, and so that's the first thing to do, and actually that helps with, you know, not having to have eyes on every bit of campus at the same time.
Yes.
What's the projection all the campuses?
We've only looked at Torrey Pines. We have, because every campus is going to be different depending on. Right now, we're focusing on perimeter control. We're not looking at campuses. I mean, we're not looking at cameras like in individual buildings or things of that nature. So for Torrey Pines, with what they have presented to us, they mean Vector. As we did the walkthrough, it was a not-to-exceed amount of about $89,000, basically.
Okay.
But that would be at a – they included cameras within buildings. We're looking at focusing on perimeter, so we'll have conversations around what that looks like and whether or not we need them in every place. I mean, obviously, they want to give us the world. So we'll be looking at where that might be in terms of perimeter. That's what we want to focus on initially.
So we're going to be using Belarus funds, because I thought you had said we were talking about bond funds before, but you're talking about Belarus funds?
Right, not bond funds, yes.
Bond funds that are secured by CFDs, so
they
are bond funds.
And so there isn't going to be stock because of that, or walk it on hold?
Oh, no, not at all.
So before the board considers those three items, Mr. Miller was going to give just a quick update on our discussions with Sandy Hook Promise.
Absolutely. So a key component of safety also includes a strong social-emotional learning component. One such program that aligns with our current efforts and will only add to these efforts is the Sandy Hook Promise. This program and one of their specific programs called Know the Science Program is a proven program that has reached up to 3 million students in 49 states. As Mr. Dill mentioned earlier, a group of principals, assistant principals, and district staff recently met with the national representatives from the Sandy Hook program, and we looked at the benefits of this program. So embedded within the promise are programs that specifically are designed around signs of suicide and their SOS, signs of suicide prevention program, and bullying prevention. Specifically at the high school level, their Say Something program teaches our teens how to recognize the signs, especially in social media, of an individual who may be a threat to themselves or others, and specifically how to reach out to a trusted adult to get help. At the middle school level, their Say Hello program, in which teaches our students how to be more socially inclusive and connected to one another. The Sandy Hook Promise also includes a platform to report an anonymous tip through an app, a phone, conversation, or a website. This is routed specifically to a grief counselor who coordinates with emergency personnel if it's an emergency specific, or it will coordinate with school officials and law enforcement if it's a threat, and so that they can confidentially investigate these threats. Finally, this program embeds a staff training on recognizing and how to identify, assess, and respond to threats. As Mr. Dill mentioned, he is meeting with other area superintendents as well with the representatives, and we have a follow-up meeting next week.
What about meeting with parents and students?
We really need to have you guys meet
with parents, and we need to have you meet with students and have their
input. This is the meeting of the Board of Trustees.
Well, good. You work for the parents. We vote for you.
The following agreements.
Shameful. Just shameful. You need to get parent input. You need to get student input.
Mrs. McDonald, please. If you wanted to speak, you had the opportunity to submit a speaker slip.
I'm just listening and to this garbage.
I'm
listening to garbage. I'm leaving. You guys.
That was going to be the next step, so thank you.
You're welcome. You should be ashamed of yourself.
So do we have any other questions?
I'm glad I heard about the Sandy Hook, my neighbor's involvement, and it's a great program. So I'm glad to follow through and doing that and the other districts,
in their office.
We actually had that senior in our boardroom 2 years ago.
Yes.
Carol Spilgen and I arranged to have representatives from many school districts come and hear their program, and we were very impressed with it.
I'll say it's evolved since then, and,
yes.
and there's so much more that they're able to offer, and you know, thanks to Mr. Miller for all of that background on what that program does, and it is, as you hear, it's multifaceted, it's age appropriate, and it has many of the things that we've been talking about in this room in terms of anonymous reporting, signs of suicide, see something, say something. Mm-hmm. It really covers all of the angles, you know, we believe, and the nice part about it is that it is a partnership between staff and students in
right.
order to run the program. And so it really is a matter of getting you know, interested parties on staff to take on the activities that you then launch to help improve school culture.
I did call Stephen, our VA, and I said, what's the most important partnership? She goes, well, that the staff definitely is able to identify and feels comfortable with that. I don't want that to obviously get one-on-one, but, you know, having the ability to recognize if there's an issue, let us know,
and
someone.
And they will be, Sandy Hook Promise folks will be at that meeting a week from Friday that Summer Stephan is hosting, so
right.
they're going to be there too.
She's
yeah, I mean, I think the biggest benefit is that it does create these connections between student, staff, and parents.
Yeah.
And as Gabby mentioned already, you know, SDA's already had them on campus. And one of the things that we were extremely impressed with was their willingness and wanting to include the student voice on campus with regards to the Sandy Hook Promise.
So what's the program that's at the county? I know it's free, and it's not been recognized yet, but they have a program like this, too. Kind of like that Summer was talking about it. You might want to check whether it's something like this, but I guess we...
Yeah, that's probably one of the things we'll be hearing next week. Yeah.
What we're doing here.
Yeah, we can look into that.
All right. Well, are we ready to consider a motion to approve entering into the following agreements with Rosalind Nakamura, Tirada Architects, and SVA Architects?
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. This one is just all in favor.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that carries and brings us to the authorization to use California Department of General Services California Multiple Award Schedule, CMAS. Would I have a motion to authorize action?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that also carries and brings us, as Ms. Douglas said, back to her for approval of our education specifications, Sunset Continuation High School.
So school districts that reconstruct more than 50% of an existing school site and utilize state school funding are required to submit educational specifications to the California Department of Education. So as you are aware, that is something that we are looking at doing with Sunset. The requirements of the ed specifications, I don't know why I have a hard time saying that, is that they want us to basically provide enrollment of the school, grade level configuration, the emphasis in curriculum content, type, number, size, and functions, and characteristics of each of the spaces, community functions that can affect school design. So the ed specs are provided for you here. This was part of a plan that took place several years ago, and so we kind of reconvened it, if you will, brought it back up with what we're now looking at doing for Sunset. So we're providing the information for you tonight.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can
leave whenever they like.
Excuse yourself. Yeah.
I think it's my
time.
Well, thank you for being here this evening.
I say this every month, but you guys can just get up and leave whenever you need to. You don't need permission.
I thought, okay.
Thank you. So if I could have a motion to approve the education specifications for Sunset High School and Blue Pass, Bigger Shop.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Carries. Thank you. And brings us to the reason our agenda was so massive this week, our adoption of resolution, addendum to negative declaration for Sunset Continuation High School Expansion Project.
Is
So at this point, I'm going to have John Adelman come up to speak to you and show you some exciting things with what we just kind of refer to in the sense of sunset.
Great.
We are warming up the projector because we're actually going to...
It's waking up.
Yeah. It's waking up. So maybe, Cindy, if you want to hit the lights or at least one bank of Michael again. Okay, Mr. Adelman, you want to... kick us off here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you having me in for the evening. It's been a little while. As a part of this particular action, we're looking to do for your approval for an addenda for a master plan that's actually been in the works for Sunset since 2003. As we look to recognize that between 2003 and 2018, there are no additional or environmental effects that would increase the significance of those between 2003 and 2018. The overall master plan for the school site is in a way now very similar to what it was in 2011. In a way, we've kind of come around full circle as we went through four to five different schematic designs, moving certain building components around and settled around to one that was very similar to what we started with. In the overall set of the plan, and as what is discussed in the addendum, is between 2003 and 2018, there have been increases in those local and state ordinances that help to protect the environment as well as the overall community. And as part of this plan, those are all, of course, included in that. The Sunset School site.
Any chance you can use that?
Sure. Overall, the Sunset School site. Is that right?
Yes.
I got you.
All right. Are we good? Mm-hmm. Overall, the Sunset School site is approximately 3.3 acres, so it's a small site, which just under 3 acres is usable. Within the local ordinances that have occurred since 2003, we've been working with the city as well as with Principal Ayala and Ms. Wadley in the development of the schematic as it is so far in order for us to move forward with the addenda. The local ordinances that have put some constraints on this overall design compared to what it was in 2003, obviously height limit within the city, and the restriction of building heights going over 30 feet or 34 feet in the sense of a high school. And working with the city, we will be proposing similar to our 2003 plan that we will still have a two-story component here at the center of the campus. This will take advantage of this slope here, such that our eventual new neighbors here to the east, there's a planned community of 13 homes expecting to start here in December and be ready for sale in June of 2019. We'll be wanting to make sure that they maintain their views as it is now over the Sunset campus. So on this upper deck here of the two-story building, as you look to the east, it'll maintain its single-story appearance. And as you are looking at it from the courtyard here, you'll have that two-story appearance. I'll get into the components of the classrooms here in a little bit, or of the buildings here in a little bit. We'll have single-story elements surrounding the balance of the school site, and then as well doing a hard court area that will be a bit more functional than it is now, including a bit of a walking track, areas for additional PE type of activities outside of basketball and dodgeball.
Doesn't it slope up where the new houses are? Are they up? I thought it was up like quite a bit.
You are correct. So on the east side here, it does slope up. And then for the four homes that are looking to be approved on the west side, it slopes down. Also to the north, there's a great slope that heads down to Commercial, and then relatively flat coming across Dover Cave to the residences across the street. Here's a bit of a 3D modeling of what it will look like. This would be your Riqueza over here. Here's that great slope going down to the Commercial area here to the north. We would look to have the entire lot be taken for parking in order to meet the parking requirements for the city of Encinitas' local ordinance. Like the 2003 negative declaration, you'll note that the warehouse and the district support facilities are removed. We will be continuing that as those functions move to other school sites or back here to the district office. We'll have an entry coming in and a drop-off area coming back around and heading back out. This will support about 86 parking spaces. For the eventual capacity of the school site, I believe it's 84 that are required. The front entryway, and we'll get into this a little bit later, will be coming through the admin building here on the top. We also have the special ed component for currently right now adult transition, but could be for anything going forward over the next couple decades. They will also have the same entryway either through the front here or through the covered area back and around to classroom spaces through here. For the Sunset students, they can either come through the front entryway after the bell sounds, or they can come through the courtyard area through ramps through a proscenium type of area that's being developed right now, or from the west side of the campus and cutting through the what will be a food kiosk area and a art classroom area. At this particular school site, just like other areas within the coastal zone, elevations, building heights, materials on the exterior of the buildings all play important roles in terms of making sure it's accepted within the overall community. Making sure that we're meeting the city's expectations. Again, if you were in that east parking lot, here's that single-story element. As you'd be looking at the administration portion of the building as well as the special ed portion of the building, with a point of entry coming in for those times after school was started, as well as areas going down into the campus on either side, as well as areas giving entryway to the special ed classroom should they not want to come through the admin building. So providing some flexibility and also security at the same time, as we'll eventually, through the design process, look at fencing and gating throughout the campus. Looking at it from the south, this is if you were standing right before you were to fall off that ledge at the commercial area, you'd be looking back. This is from Riqueza, actually. This is how you'd be looking at the front of the school. So if you're on Riqueza, you'd see that single-story element over here on the west. This is where approximately that food kiosk is. Here's that art classroom with the south door area. And then that single-story element continuing across. And then you'd have that peak there as the slope rises, revealing that two-story element just along that one particular sight line. And then single-story element as you're looking at it from the east. This building back here that just pops up over the single-story roofline is a multi-purpose room, which we'll talk about in a little bit. From the west elevation, so I'm not sure anybody will really see this as this will be outside of the fence line and the homes will be further down the slope, but essentially it's a single-story element as they look up the hillside at the Sunset campus. And then this is that view as you're on the north side of the campus looking to the south. On the back side of the multi-purpose room, with that single-story element, this side being where science and culinary arts is, as well as the court area, and then the upper area here where the ATP area would be. Now, should have brought my glasses. Let me get up here a little closer. So the two layouts we have, one is the lower area. This is largely where Sunset is contained to. We have, through the overall project, 14 classrooms, 11 of which are down here for Sunset, and three others being upstairs. Of interest, working through the school site, we have an art classroom, which will be much better than the art classroom that they have right now. As a reminder to folks, this is all temporary classrooms right now on the campus. That's been here for 30, 40 years now. The art classrooms, we'll have an outdoor area as well as a kiln yard, and in the latest rendition, it's actually a little storage area here now. Two general classrooms. Coming across this way are resource rooms and staff restrooms for both the school side as well as security, keeping a lookout over the students. Two general ed classrooms and then a special ed classroom for Sunset. We have that multi-purpose room, which is something that's been lacking at Sunset and was requested even back in 2003, where students have a covered area for a rainy day as well as an area now for gatherings. So this is a large area, a little over 2,000 square feet. Also has the facilities for students and staff throughout here on the play court area. Also have restrooms now adjacent as well as storage. Getting rid of all the tough sheds and common boxes that are out there now. We have a science classroom, which is now a true blue science classroom for Sunset. One of the things that we learned at the school site is it's obviously not a comprehensive high school. As an alternative school, I can see where certainly one of the struggles is you have students coming in across all grade levels, 9 through 12, at all different points within their high school career. So having a place that is flexible to be able to teach science throughout those 4 years has been an interesting challenge. And so we're looking to make this very similar to what we would do for a chemistry classroom, which is something that Sunset doesn't have right now, but they would lend itself to additional student support as this facility comes online. Also, there would be a culinary arts classroom here. This is also being designed as a way to further increase programs for Sunset, but just like science classroom, it can also double as other classrooms in terms of general purpose. And then we have three additional general ed classrooms, restrooms, and a food kiosk area over here on this side. Like I said, there's a bit of an additional outdoor gathering area. The folks seem, the school site seems rather excited about this, as it's another large outdoor area where they can hold graduation. We'll have covered walkways around. And then what the school site already has as part of a fledgling culinary arts program is they currently have a garden on site. We'll be looking to provide them a garden area that is 2 to 4 times their existing size.
Oh, nice.
As they'll be able to further grow that program, as well as have an area for gatherings and for lunch there at the end of the day. Okay. Up on the second deck of that two-story building, we are limiting its overall footprint, as we're relatively site-constrained. Maintaining our setbacks from Arcasa, as well as the north end of the school site. This was a bit of a challenge here. So we're looking to essentially join two different programs, Sunset, as well as ATP, and as well what it might be in the future. So we have essentially along this line, we have support services essentially for Sunset that can be shared with any special ed program that might go in this area. In terms of a teacher workroom, counseling center, conference space, principal's office, and of course the reception area, as folks are greeted and either directed towards sunset or around to the special ed component. As well, we have administrative area for offices, IEP conference rooms, nurse's office, both public and staff restrooms, all adjacent and available to the special ed program. In this program, we have three classrooms. Within the addendum, we have two of them called out for general ed classrooms and one as a special ed. That is not necessarily due to programming. The expectation is in the fall of 20 that this would be used all for special ed, but it's more in regards to setting the overall site capacity in terms of its larger use, should it ever, should the space ever flow back to sunset in the site that there today is. Also, adjacent to these classrooms, we have a breakout space for either classroom, additional restroom and changing facilities for them. Also, as you might have seen in that 3D slide, there's an outdoor covered, what is now a patio area, but it's really designed in mind such that this outdoor space, should this program or the Sunset program grow, be essentially filled in with three additional walls to make an additional classroom for future expansion. To give a connection to the Sunset campus below, these classrooms can either access the elevator through here or these set of stairs, or to this set of stairs and the wheelchair lift down to the lower campus. As at least right now, it's expected that with the Sunset having the, essentially a midday release, the culinary arts, science, and art classrooms and multipurpose and PE facilities could be made available to the students of ATP. And with that, that's our latest update. There is quite a bit of additional process. As we move through design development, we'll be, of course, refining the interior plans, looking at the exterior finishes, landscaping, security, and the like. And also, we'll be engaging the City of Encinitas here in the middle of May as we start off on our coastal development permit application, as well as our community participation program as we reach out to our neighbors to make sure that we are still on track. Our goal here in the next couple of months is, as we reach out to our neighbors, we will have them work with us in terms of looking at landscaping, any of the building exterior finishes, as we are trying to work with the city in terms of making sure that this school site ties in with either residential development on the other side. And so we'll look at providing some schemes to the community first, and then as they whittle it down to their top two, we'll bring those back to the board to make the final selection. So you'll hopefully come June be able to see those selections that the community has selected for you. Any questions?
I'm just thankful we haven't seen one of these since Earl Warren started their process. I forgot how long these reports are.
It's all good.
This is so overdue. It's really satisfying to see the final ending.
For me, having been at Sunset now for the last 5 years as my home, it's really hit home, and I'm glad we have that opportunity with the increase in assessed value to be able to bring the funding forward of Prop A to bring this project alive here next year, and as well take advantage of the interim housing at San Diego as we wrap up the Arts and Humanities building next year.
And I really want to give Mr. Adelman the credit for that idea, and recognizing that we did have that opportunity with the temporary school or classrooms that we have at SDA to accelerate this project, because this was, if you all remember, back in 2012, this was closer to the tail end of the timeline that we had envisioned. So it really is because of John and the rest of the staff over there that that they're now proposing to, you know, finally give Sunset a permanent home.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
21, correct?
Yes.
So this is a resolution. The addendum to... Excuse me, I'll need a motion to adopt the attached resolution.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Thank you. This is a resolution. We need a roll call.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. Thank you. Next is, again, Ms. Douglas addressing adoption of resolutions. Lease lease back. This one for DeGanio Middle School and Oakcraft Middle School.
So the first one is for DeGanio. If you recall, in December, we brought forward some procedures and guidelines for the board to approve for the lease-leaseback method of delivery. The board approved those guidelines at the December meeting. In March, just last month, we put out a request for qualifications, an RFP, for DeGanio Middle School for the new classroom, Building P, and the modernizations of Building B and G. There were six firms that responded, all of which were found to be responsive and responsible. Part of that process that the board approved back in December was we formed a committee, and the committee evaluated the proposals according to those guidelines that were approved. Although the guidelines did not require it, we provided the scores to somebody outside of that group to be able to tally, and the top three proposals were then invited to come for a second interview. After those scores were tabulated, there was an interview process that took place with the same procedure, if you will, with the committee interviewing, the scores being submitted to an outside party for tabulation. The three companies were ranked, as you'll see there. Erickson Hall was the first one, Balfour Beatty the second, and Barnhart Reese the third. There's going to be two phases of occupancy plan for this project. Right now, the Erickson Hall has provided a preliminary GMP, guaranteed maximum price, of a little over $8 million, which was based on the estimate that was provided in the proposal. Once everything kind of gets looked at by DSA, there may be some changes in that price if DSA has some weigh-in on anything that we may need to change. But there would be no construction that would start until the DSA approves those drawings. And then after the bid, Erickson Hall will be presenting to the board at a future board meeting for the approval of the agreements with the guaranteed maximum price approved at that time, the final guaranteed maximum price. So as part of this approval process, there are three documents that we're looking for the board to approve tonight, which is a site lease, which leases the district's property to the builder, a sublease agreement that leases the district's property from the builder back to the district, and then a pre-construction construction services agreement for the lease back.
So the first item that we would be addressing would be adoption of the resolution just for DeGanio Middle School. And then a motion to adopt, approve, and authorize execution of the site lease.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call. We're going to have several roll calls tonight.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. And then item B under the same topic here is for the resolution for Oakcrest Middle School, approving and authorizing. Roll call. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. All right. Item 23 is our adoption of resolution for the Board of Trustees of San Peter Union High School District authorizing issuance and sale of not to exceed $26 million. aggregate principal amount of fraud. Yes.
So this was another item that took up several pages. So as you are aware, I'm sorry, I just need to pass my page here. In November of 2012, Prop AA was authorized for our projects that John's company and group have been working so diligently on. In April of 2013, we issued our first series of $160 million. In April of 2015, the district issued the second series for a little over $117 million. In July, we issued our third series, which was $62 million. This would be our fourth series, series D1 and D2, in the amount of a little over $25 million. It would include what Mr. Adelman presented tonight, the reconstruction of Sunset, modernization of the culinary arts classroom at La Costa Canyon, design for modernization of student support services and classrooms at SDA, classrooms at Oak Crest Middle School, in addition to maintaining an option for continued principal lease payments towards solar facilities at CCA and LCC. In addition to that, due to the taxable nature of the 2010 QSKIBs, quality school construction bonds, we are also looking at issuing an amount of $3.1 million. The remaining projects will be funded with tax-exempt series bonds D in the amount of the $22 million after payment of certain cost issuances. So the projects that are going to be funded will be over the next 3 years, with the final draw being in 2022. There's a lot of documents here, but in essence, what I want to make sure that I point out is that it does maintain our long-term financial goals that the board has wanted to make sure that we do, and we've pledged a tax limit of no more than $25 per 100,000 assessed valuation, and this does that. The continued practice of limiting the repayment terms to 25 years, the continued practice of developing a financial plan that eliminates or reduces CABs, capital appreciation bonds, and we are also using a conservative estimate in terms of assessed valuation of 4%. Typically, that over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, that the assessed valuation growth has actually been a little over 5%. But we want to make sure that we're being conservative, and so we are using a 4% growth in terms of AV. The payback ratio is 1.7 to 1, which is obviously something that we want to make sure that we're maintaining very low on, because that in turn is obviously saving our taxpayers' dollars. So I want to make sure that I point that out to you as well. We are expected to trade above par value, which is creating a premium. Typically, a bond will trade at premium when it offers coupon rates higher at prevailing interest rates. That's because investors want a higher yield and will pay more for it. The little over $3 million that's gained by selling the premium will not be used for projects. The Prop AA project amount was already approved by the taxpayers. What that will do is limit the payments in terms of capitalized interest. And we also have a board policy that we've brought forward that has put those restrictions in place. So I want to make sure that the board is aware that we are not using that to pay for additional projects and increase any amount that we've already been approved by the taxpayers.
Speaking of that, why explain that a little bit more carefully to us? I don't really understand. So we're offering a interest payment of almost 5%. Why aren't we offering a lower interest rate? I don't understand. Even though if we take that extra $3 million and pay, wouldn't it ultimately be better off if we offered a lower interest rate? I don't know why we want this extra money that we don't do anything with to pay down what we're already borrowing.
Well, so we still are looking in terms of, we haven't actually done anything yet in terms of actually selling bonds, but keeping it at the rate that we're at, if we're limiting the amount that we are going to be saving in terms of taxpayers. So we are making sure that we're doing our fiduciary responsibility in terms of limiting the cost to the district, as well as providing the values that we need to for the taxpayers that will be purchasing the bonds.
So I'll say a couple things. That one, that really the market ultimately dictates, you know, the conditions of each sale that
sure,
we have.
Yeah.
And so as we, since I was part of Series A, B, and C, you know, I saw how up until, you know, the night of and maybe even the morning of the sale, we were often making changes to the structure of it in accordance with what the market was demanding at that time. And so in certain market conditions, you have what we have now, which is where when interest rates are low, you know, investors aren't really interested in a 25-year bond with, you know, a very low payoff. So by increasing the interest rate, you attract more buyers, and they're also willing to pay more for those bonds. And so the premium, which is that amount above the par value that they're paying, goes back into paying off the debt service. So we just take those extra dollars, pay down the debt.
So you've calculated that is better off for the taxpayers than them just offering a lower interest rate. I mean, we're going to sell these bonds. Right. I mean, they're super safe, and we sold them last time, what, in an hour? Or
well, I'll tell you. Okay, Ralph just laughed. Mr. Holmes just laughed. And because I've seen them, you know, as you know, as I've sat in their conference room and watched the orders come in, you know, when the sales, you know, it'll stall out at a certain point if there aren't investors who actually want to buy that. There have been times in the past where, you know, we've had to, you know, delay the end of the sale in order to find enough buyers for the bonds. And so, you know, again, when we've looked at just selling at par value at a lower interest rate and compared that to higher interest rate but with premium, we've resulted in a lower ultimate payback on that. And so we have done those analysis, you know, in the evening leading up to the sale, and usually it's, you know, a conference call that we've got at 5 o'clock that night with all of the parties, you know, trying to find, you know, where's the sweet spot here in order to get
right. So you are calculating what
absolutely
is the, not you're just not ultimately right concerned on how quickly they sell.
Correct. I mean, they have to sell.
Yeah, they want to sell.
But we don't need it to happen in 1 hour. But right. You know, but we do need the bonds to sell. And
yeah, I realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And you know, I will say that you know, Mr. Bauer, who's our financial advisor, you know, he makes a flat fee on this, and so, you know, whether we have a high interest rate, low interest rate, whatever it is,
yeah,
you know, his advice. Well, I'm just saying, you know, pointing out that we've got a team that, you know, ultimately wants to find the best deal for this district, and, you know, does not have a financial interest in the outcome of that. So, you know, other than just his flat fee, which he earns one way or another.
Will our ultimate bond rating be affected by the fact that we have a deficit of $8 million, or is that not a fact?
That's something that that they certainly will ask us about it on Tuesday morning when we have our rating call with them.
What did you say about that? I'm curious.
Well, when we've done the presentation with us, they've seen that, because usually, you know, when we're in this part in this point in the spring, even in the best years, we're showing a deficit, even if we pull ahead and end up with a surplus in the past. So what we usually do is we show them our history of where we are at the adopted budget and where we've performed by the end of the year, to help give some assurance that, you know, we do pull ahead and close that gap by the end of the year. So they do ask those questions, and, you know, these folks are very intelligent and, you know, understand what we're explaining to them.
Okay. I don't think you have any trouble
selling.
All right.
I hope not.
All right. Any further questions before we... I'll ask for a motion then to adopt the resolution. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, Michelle.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes. Thank you. And that brings us to a change in the program. Ms. Frazee is going to bring us approval of salary increases for our non-represented employee groups.
So we have three groups of employees that are not represented in the collective bargaining process. They're supervisory, confidential, and administration. And this item is to address giving them, we're recommending a 0.5% increase to their base salary on longevity benefits increments. So this particular salary is also compensation, is also applied to offset our health care benefits. In 2015, as you may recall, we embedded the district contribution for health care and put it onto the management salary schedule. So as we have any increase in health care, unless we increase salary, then the employees are paying a larger amount out of pocket for health care benefits. So this will also help offset some of that increase.
So, Eric, can we bring a deficit? You think we're going to catch up and close the gap?
Well, we're always, our history has always shown that we narrow the gap by the end of the year.
So you think it will happen?
Well, we will narrow the gap from where we were, and we will, at this point, I believe that we will have a deficit by the end of this year, but it will not be as deep as what we're showing, because as I've mentioned over the years, we're always showing our worst-case scenario, and so we will, you know, by the time we close things out, not all of the worst cases happen.
So how much do you think we're going to be able to close the gap?
You've asked me those questions before, and I've hedged before because, you know, I don't want to throw out numbers when, you know, quite frankly, I'd be making them up right now because I'd have to, you know, we have to wait until we see how everything shakes out by the end of the year. I can tell you that it will be lower than what we've showed at second interim, and that we're always bringing those budgets down throughout the year. And then as we close out at the end of the year, we capture more savings from that. So, you know, I can give that general
advice. I mean, if you're telling me that you're going to close the gap and we've got the money, then I have to look to you because that's what your job is, to advise us. So
you're asking, are we in a position?
I'm asking his opinion.
For this item, are we in a position to do this?
Are we in a position to do this? Are you recommending this if you brought it forward?
We can,
what do you think? Yeah.
Yes, I am recommending this item be approved by the board.
And you're recommending that we're going to be good at the end. Yeah, that's all you can have. Okay.
And you're also recommending that it's a raise that goes back in time, correct?
Correct.
All the way to last June or something? Or
July 1.
Last July 1.
And that is consistent with what we did with the certificated salary increase that we approved earlier this year, because it is recognizing those costs, and you know we wait until we settle with other groups before we bring management forward, and this is consistent with that.
And I wanted to in talking to Superintendent Dill about this, I want to thank you for sending comparable salaries for other across San Diego to see how we align with those, and they're very comparable, especially when you back out our health care that's built into that. So I think these are in line with other districts. And what is the overall cost of this to the budget?
44,000.
$44,000.
Okay. $44,000. Yes, so I had that. Okay. Mrs. Herman asked me today, and I had it at my fingertips. Right. So, yes.
It was good to see that.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to have several...
And so that we can save a little bit of time, you know, Ms. Frazee was really asking for, you know, 24A, which is the three items to approve the salary increases on the management, supervisory, and confidential, and the designated management. I am the one who is asking for that same increase to apply to the four associate superintendents. And so that is my item, and maybe we can just continue on through the votes. If you have any questions on that, I can ask those now.
I can make a question. Sure. So the four superintendents signed a contract with the district with a set salary, which included benefits, correct?
Correct.
And that was a 3-year contract. And now you're asking us to change that contract. Is that correct?
Yes, and what I will say in the past, prior to the point when we put the salary or the benefits dollars on salary, the associate superintendents and the management employees as well received a benefits allowance that was comparable to what the other bargaining groups received, and it was set by formula. So when the other groups had an increase, the associate superintendents and other management automatically received that as well.
But the other people don't have contracts.
They do have contracts, but not in a similar fashion to this.
Sometimes when you sign a contract, there's a risk that costs go up, but you sign a contract.
That's correct. I don't have to recommend this, but I am choosing to recommend this because you know, I want to ensure that that they remain appropriately compensated, that they receive the same consideration in terms of their benefits package that our other groups do. And should I have one of those four people leave and I have to go out and find somebody to replace them, that we continue to look attractive and competitive for folks to come to this district. I hope we would.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll be starting with item 24-1. I'll need a motion if there's no other questions. To approve the salary increases for our non-represented group of management, increasing their annual salary and longevity benefits by 0.5% effective July 1st, 2017.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Let's see. And these we can just do a,
yes.
a vote. So all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
The next one is item 2, and it is to approve the salary increases for the non-represented employee groups of the confidential and supervisory employees, increasing their salary by 0.5%, also effective July 1st, 2017. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
And then I'm looking for a motion to approve the revised board policy number 2420.1. /4320.1 designation of management positions that was shown in our attached supplement. If you need any other questions,
what I will say is that this is just cleaning up job titles that designate management positions.
Move approval. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously and brings us. 2, approval of amendment to employment contracts for our associate superintendents, as Mr. Dill discussed. So if I could have a motion to approve the amendment to employment contract entered into with Mark Miller, associate superintendent of administrative services, increasing the salary compensation by 0.5%. You can stop me any time.
you know what? You do need to read
the whole
one?
Okay. For an annual salary amount of $196,443 and applicable longevity benefits in accordance with management salary schedule set forth in Attachment A to Board Policy 4341.1, effective July 1st, 2017, with no other change to the contract as shown in the attached supplement. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
That carries. Next, I need a motion to approve the amendment to employment contract entered into with Tina Douglas, Associate Superintendent of Business Services, increasing the annual salary compensation by 0.5% for an annual salary amount of $196,443. And applicable longevity benefits in accordance with management salary schedule set forth in Attachment A to Board Policy 4341.1, effective July 1st, 2017, with no other changes to the contract as shown in the attached supplement.
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
I am seeking a motion to approve the amendment to employment contract entered into with Michael Grove, Associate Superintendent of Educational Services, increasing the annual salary compensation by 0.5% for an annual salary amount of $196,443 and applicable longevity benefits in accordance with the management salary schedule set forth in Attachment A to Board Policy 4341.1, effective July 1st, 2017, with no other changes to the contract as shown in the attached supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Leading the final motion needed here is to approve the amendment to the employment contract entered into with Cindy Frizzi, Associate Superintendent of Human Resources, increasing the annual salary compensation by 0.5% for an annual salary amount of $196,443. And applicable longevity benefits in accordance with management salary schedule set forth in Attachment A to Board Policy 4341.1, effective July 1st, 2017, with no other changes to the contract as shown in the attached supplement.
That's very impressive.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Item that carries, item 25, is approval of Memorandum of Understanding for the California School Employees Association, Chapter 241. Ms. Rosine.
So in June of 2017, AB 119 was signed into law. And what AB 119 required us to do was to negotiate with our associations on having access to new employees when we do our orientations. So this Memorandum of Understanding was developed between us and our CSEA, Chapter 241, and so that's being brought to you for approval tonight. We have always given access to our associations for orientation, but this memorializes that.
Okay.
Move
approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. Item 26 is a public hearing and adoption of the San Diego Union High School District's initial proposal to San Diego Faculty Association regarding certificated unit collective bargaining agreement negotiations for the 2018-19 school year. And I believe I need to gavel us into a public hearing to receive public testimony and take public comment, but we have no speakers left. So I will close that hearing. Okay. So I'm going to seek a motion to adopt the San Diego Union High School District's initial proposal to San Diego Faculty Association for the 2018-19 school year. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All in.
Any discussion?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Any questions?
I can say, having looked at this, this looks really good. I am very excited. I don't see anything that anybody possibly could be opposed on these type of items. So I was very very happy to see that. I see we have a union rep back there. Good job.
I'm so happy to see the increasing class sizes. That's something that they're interested in. That's something I'm very much interested in. I think it's the best thing for all kids.
I would agree with that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm all curious as that we didn't have a speaker as why they had chosen these and the reasons why. But I guess we didn't have a speaker.
Well, this is actually the district's proposal. The next one will be the faculty association. But
is that where we haven't had any speakers at all?
Not for either one.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. So these are just our initials.
Sunshiny.
Thank you for helping with my phrases. So if I could have a motion, do we need any other discussion? Anything?
No,
I just didn't know if anyone else wanted to ask another question. If I could have a motion.
We have that.
Yes, we have that. Mrs. Herman and Mrs. Muir.
We just need the vote.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. Long day. all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. And I get to have another public hearing for the San Diego Faculty Association's initial proposal to the San Diego Union High School District regarding certificated unit collective bargaining agreement and negotiations for the 2018-19 school year. So I will open the hearing. We did not have any speaker slips
Correct.
For that. Close the hearing. And I know you made some comments already towards this item, but any other questions or discussion?
We have to have the emotion.
The only thing is,
I totally agree with their number one about decreasing class sizes. I'm sure all of you received it, but looked at the list of how large the class sizes are, even though we were told ad nauseum that they would be less. They are, have not. They have grown. Many classes are over 40. Many are above that. And I think the teachers are justified and right to say, you know, enough is enough. Let's get these class sizes down. So I have nothing negative to say about this, but this is looking good.
It's good. I'm glad this is a wonderful thing. Class sizes is getting smaller. Even the best teachers, it's tough to reach all the kids. And we've got such great kids in the district. They deserve smaller class sizes.
And this one I do.
There is no vote on this one.
I do not have a vote on this. So if
We just move into the next item.
I will move into the update and approval of continuance of Torrey Pines High School Emergency Repair Elevator Project. This comes from Ms. Douglas.
And almost done.
Next phase of this one, huh?
So last month, the board approved for us to move forward with the fixing of the Torrey Pines elevator that's been taken out of service. So public contract code requires us at every future board meeting to provide an update. The parts are on order. They anticipate starting work next week. They're prepared to work overtime to get it done. So this is just looking for an approval by a four-fifths vote to continue to move forward with the project. And then at the following meeting, we'll come forward with a completion.
What of the kids that can't manage the steps doing all this time?
They're having to walk further down the campus to a different,
different.
It's kind of far, to a different area.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve continuing this?
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously. Also brings us to our information items. Again, Ms. Douglas, video broadcasting, recording of board meetings, update.
So we have, this is an information item. We have Joel Van Hooser here to provide you with some information on the recording of the board meetings.
So I just have this document here that shows the three different options we looked at. There was lots of different factors that we used to look into these different options. But what it really came a lot down to was the video quality and also the ease of use from day-to-day usage. That if you look at a lot of districts, their video systems require somebody behind a counter running it. It looks like a little TV studio, Hollywood production type of system. But the first example here, it would be more of a simple type of setup where there would be a camera roughly somewhere back along here that's a very wide-angle camera that could keep a pretty good wide view of it. A simple system to where somebody could basically just start and stop the recording of the meetings themselves. It would be pretty simple, but it would be fairly limited in the sense of where the cameras are pointed. The second option is more along the lines, like I was saying, where there would be somebody behind a panel controlling multiple cameras, being able to pan and zoom and edit video in that sense. But it would take a technically functional staff member back there to be able to manage that.
And also switch to, say, if we had an on-screen presentation.
Yeah, so there would be lots of different video inputs when it comes to that, but that's more the typical fashion for that. It costs a little bit less up front, but then the third option costs a little bit more, than that even, but that would be more of an automated system. The sound system that runs this right now, even for the microphones, it can actually tell which each individual microphone is connected to it and when somebody is talking. So then there could be a camera or multiple cameras in this case to where when somebody's talking on a specific microphone, the camera would automatically move to that. It's a better trade-off in the sense that it's a little bit more in the upfront cost, but then it's very simple where somebody could just hit a button and it would start the system going and the camera would be more automated in that sense.
So what are you talking about in the price?
So the first option would be roughly $4,000 for the simple one, where it's just a simple wide-angle camera. The second option, where it would require somebody in the back, is about roughly $40,000, and then the third one would be almost $60,000 for the fully automated.
What about school districts? Because I know Power's got those.
Typically, they're around the option number two, around the $40,000 one. But
that's what I'm saying. And what's the upkeep on that?
Upkeep, there isn't too much long-term upkeep. It's more the man hours just to physically run the system each time to have a technically trained person that knows how to use that system. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we would have to have somebody here at the board meetings running it. And if you've ever been to the County Office of Education, you know, that's how they run their meetings. They have somebody in kind of like a command center in the corner of the room who operates all that. We would have to have, with that option two, that's what we would have to have, a system that was like that.
And so then we would feed it on our website.
Yeah, we would have, well.
Yeah, so with any of these systems, they could be easily posted online, the actual video itself. The end result of the video being online would be the same in all three of these cases. It's just the quality of the video and the man hours taken to put into that.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. It seems to me that when we talked about the cameras at the different schools beyond Torrey Pines, and that's almost the same cost as the Torrey Pines cameras. I
personally think that having cameras at the schools makes a lot more sense.
Is it an either or?
Well,
I don't think so.
Well, I do, because it's the money.
We've already approved the cameras at Trey Bunn. Now we have something to discuss here.
No, it's not toward
clients. This, we're not going to do that.
No, not toward clients. That we take another campus and install cameras and have the money
absolutely
to do that.
Rather than
the... This would be the straw that broke the camel's back. You do this, we're not doing any other schools. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting an expenditure of money, Mr. Salazar, putting money where it's for the kids, for the safety of the kids, for the safety of the campus. I think that is worth a lot more than putting...
But nobody is suggesting if we do this, we're not going to do that.
Well, I think...
I mean, that's ridiculous. This board spends $135 million every year. So I think the taxpayers have the right to be able to see exactly what is happening and what comments board members are making. I really think they are, and I am an advocate of that. I'm proud for the citizens and the taxpayers to hear what I have to say. I think you would be as well.
I think I'd like to revisit because my comments when we brought this up last month were that if we had no system in this room at all, then I would definitely be advocating that we do something. But we do record our comments. They do become available. They are transcribed as needed. And I feel like that makes it available. They can be available online just as
the audio is posted.
Right. So I don't feel like, for me, it's back to where would the dollars be better spent. I think I would agree that that wouldn't be my priority because we have recordings and documentation of the meetings that's very available to the public.
I know since we haven't budgeted this year, well, this would be something if we were going to look at it, we'd have to look at it for next year.
That's true.
But we're considering our budget.
We're approaching the new budget year, so this could be put on over.
Yeah, looking at the three items, I mean, I think option two would end up being so costly because of the additional staff time and really kind of how it's operated would be very distracting, I think. So I wouldn't be at all in favor. I mean, option one, if that would make people feel better that they could see what's going on, then that's, you know, that is a much lower cost item. The other one, the third one, again, is very expensive. So I would have a tough time saying we really need that level of technology, but, you know, if we can come back to that and talk about it, having a camera so at least...
Okay, that's a good option. Then let's put it on the next agenda that we can vote on option one, $4,000 to have a camera. We load it up on the website. Taxpayers can see exactly what they're getting.
Well,
I think that's a great idea.
Would this still need to come through as a new item to be considered for our next year's budget, or how would we timing wise?
It's really at the board's discretion, and so you know whether it's. Yeah, putting it as a line item, we will be having a budget workshop, and so we could put it as one of the considerations in the budget.
We're spending $4,800 this month to send 8 students to a track meet. I think we can find $4,000 in the budget to post a camera up there and put it online for the taxpayers. I know that's something a lot of people don't like to say. That's who we work for. They have the right to see these boards in action. This isn't, we don't, YouTube and everything else isn't audio, it's video. That's what people expect. Let's join the real world and at least do the option number one.
The only thing I can say about this is we've got CCA in all of our schools. We tout as the best school of visual arts, and we won't even do this. I mean, this is like the minimum. I mean, because we're already there. We weren't already there. I mean, look at the, all the kids are talking about all the awards that we've got. And yet we won't. I mean, $4,000, I've got to tell you something. What do we have? We got over $100 million budget. That's a lot of money.
I don't need an award-winning televised board meeting is what I'm saying. I need...
And you would think that $4,000 would be fine?
I think we set the tone for the district. We
we're already expecting BAPA. We've all got our
well, and they're producing documentaries.
That's students.
And movies
that's students.
And I love to see the investment in that kind of technology. If this is something that we can do to again show what's happening in our meeting, and then I would be fine doing that. And did you say that it's pretty easy to upload that? I mean, I know Ms. Schultz has a lot of activities to do. Is that something that can be done fairly simply?
It's very simple, yeah.
Okay.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have to say, too, is most people can't come to these meetings. They have kids. And they're at home making dinner.
It still does take some work to do that and to maintain it.
Okay. Well, that's why people get salary. And increase in pay.
Okay. We'll bring that back to the next meeting.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you for the discussion. And that brings us to item
number 30.
How did I get off so far? Our uniform complaint quarterly report for the third quarter. And this is Dr. Grubb.
Your favorite quarterly report. As you know, it's related to the Williams settlement. We received zero complaints during the third quarter.
Thank you. And it's my understanding that no one feels they need another round of update for us this evening after all the business that we've done. So that brings us either to future agenda items. And if I hear none, I will adjourn us on this evening's meeting. Thank you all for coming.